Hello, everyone, and welcome to Candidly Single Mom. I am your girl, Janine, and I am, of course, as always, so excited to be on and to have my friend that I've known since high school, one of my greatest best friends, come on for part two of our conversation. Her name is Lateria, and if you missed part one, I highly, highly recommend that you go back and listen to that before you continue on with part two of this conversation. Lateria, she just brings so much wisdom as a single mom, and we just talked about her journey to single motherhood. So we're going to pick up right where we left off in part one with the continuance of our conversation today. So I want you all to listen in.
And then I love that you talk about just setting new traditions for your family. And all of it really is perspective, right? Because you have matured in the way of how you see your situation, your circumstance, or how you see your life, even if you don't consider it a circumstance, the way that you view it, the perspective that you have, you see it in such a matured way to now you can start implementing things that are healthy for your family, even though it's the three of you. That can maybe serve tradition for them when they get older, and even to the point to where they probably don't even miss the fact that they don't have that their dad, you know, presently in the home. And that's been my hope for my kids as well. Like, these are the new traditions that we do. We hug, we love, we do movie night. You know, I was just telling somebody the other day, I was hurt in my heart when my son decided not to go to the movies with me and his sister. He wouldn't hang out with his friends. Because we set that tradition over the years that it's just the three of us, you know, but he's a teenager. So I have no business getting upset, but I was. My heart was hurt because he's wanting to hang out with friends now. But, you know, I wanted to be able to have a life for them in a way to where they don't feel an absence of another parent. Like, the fact that it's just the three of us is just a different family dynamic. It's not a negative family dynamic. It's not a broken home. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I like where you say that too, because I have been challenged by hearing it's actually really upsetting, and I have to laugh at it so that I don't get upset, but I've heard it's called dysfunction. And yes. I'm like, I don't like that word, because that word is a very, very negative word on what people know as family. And I'll tell you, I'd rather live in a home with the absence of a man than live in a home with a man who's abusing me, who's there but not there, a man who's not contributing anything to the home. Like, if there's anything negative that he brings, I'd rather just be me and my children. And it took a lot. Let's see. I want to say my youngest daughter may have been 4 before I got that realization, because I remember times where I would make the phone call because he wasn't making any phone calls and he wasn't trying to, you know, after I left South Carolina, and it just would upset me. And I'm like, why aren't you calling your kids? Why aren't you talking to your kids? You know, and I was always trying to force this relationship that apparently he did not want. And yeah, he paid, like I said, he paid his child support. I'll give him that. But that's as much as he thought he needed to do. And I'd get on this phone and I'd just be so angry. And like I said some bad words, you know, lots of bad words that I probably shouldn't have said. Mm-hmm. And every time I hung up the phone with him, I didn't feel empowered. I felt defeated because I knew that mm-hmm. my conversation with him wasn't going to change his mind about anything. And it took me in prayer. I remember praying. And I was like, you know, and I would always pray, and I'm like, Lord, I need you to have this man care about his kids, blah, blah, blah. Ooh, boom, he'll call one day. And that day we'd have a good day, go to the zoo or something. Who knows? Do something together. Mm-hmm. And then he'd call. And then this whole negative vibe would be in the house. And everybody would be angry. And I'm like, what's going on? You know? And it took several years of that for me to realize that I keep praying about something that God does not want me to pray about. Like the every time I prayed about it, the Lord did it. Like he literally did it. He allowed him to call or me to call him and get in touch with him. But then there was this weight that kept like lingering in my home, this spirit. And finally I realized that I was praying about the wrong thing. Yes. And one day I realized in prayer that the Lord didn't want that. Like, yes, he's my kid's father. And you know, things happened, and I don't know if you caught this one, but I said that when I did have children with him, I was in a very foolish state of mind, and I had already grew up a little bit, you know, and I was living for the Lord. So me calling and asking for this man who definitely had different viewpoints and a different agenda to be in the life of kids that I was trying to grow up, you know, as the Lord would have me grow them up. It was a big conflict every time. And I had to stop praying that prayer. And by me stop praying that prayer, it was like the best thing that ever happened to me. But fast forward, kids do miss their other parent, no matter what you do. They do miss them. My daughter, my oldest daughter, she's always had like a longing to know more of her dad and to build like a very strong relationship with her dad from, I want to say, like it was really, really bad. Like when she was in middle school and up until recently in her 20s, she had an encounter with him. And I think this was kind of like the last straw. Like she was like, hey, you know what? How are you? I'm an adult now. You know, we had our differences. We didn't see eye to eye. And she always kind of felt like she didn't, you know, get the love and support that she longed for from him, because she honestly has the heart of a daddy's girl. And it ended really poorly. It ended with him saying a few choice words and her heart being broken. And I remember I just had like this. It bothers me, like every time that would happen, whether it was when she was younger, mm-hmm. whether she was in middle school, whether she was in high school, every time she tried to actually form that relationship with him and she was rejected, it did something to me, because that's my mm-hmm. baby, you know, like right. that's my baby. Like I raised her. So you don't want to see your daughter or your child heartbroken over someone who's supposed to love them or show them love, and they don't do it in return. So it's it's very heartbreaking. And then she was like 20, 21 years old. And I remember having a conversation with her because she mm-hmm. was in tears that night. And mm-hmm. Her and my youngest daughter, they both were kind of trying to reach out to him. And maybe he was going through a bad time. I'm not trying to give an excuse for anything. But they didn't get that love. And my youngest daughter didn't really affect her as much, but my oldest daughter did. And I remember having a conversation with her, and I told her, I begged her, I said, please stop.
Yeah.
I said, because you have no idea how this affects me. Like now I gotta go and I gotta resort to praying on my pillow where you can't see it and crying out to the Lord, because it upsets right. me that your heart is broken. I mean, because ultimately right. nobody wants to see their daughter heartbroken at all. Like it's a whole different ballpark. Like, you can break my heart, but you break my daughter's heart, man, you're rolling up your sleeves, you're upset, you know, because this is my baby, you know? And I explained that to her, and I begged her. I said, listen, you know, sometimes people just don't know how to love themselves, honestly. And I think that's what it mm-hmm. all boils down to. It's like, if you don't know how to love yourself, you cannot extend love to someone else, no matter how much you try. If you're empty, you can't give anything, you know? So it was that moment where she kind of understood where I was going from. Fast forward, she did reach out to, because her and her father share the same birthday, and she tried to reach out to him just to say happy birthday. She doesn't want anything mm-hmm. from him. She's like, if he wants this relationship, he's going to reach out first. And I told her it'd be a time where he actually does, but, you know, and she just wanted to say happy birthday. And I think that he just completely blocked them away from even getting in touch with him. But she didn't walk away brokenhearted this time. This time she walked away knowing that perhaps there's something wrong with him and it's not me. I'm not the problem. I'm not I'm not the one who's unlovable. I'm trying to give love and he just won't take it, you know, and it didn't break her heart. I'm pretty sure, you know, she felt a little sad about it, but it didn't break her heart. And I encouraged both of them. I'm like, hey, listen, you pray for your dad because your dad needs salvation. At the end of the day, he needs love. He needs salvation. One day he's going to need you. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to be there for your dad. Why? Because he's probably expecting for you not. But this is a test of, one, your faith in God. And for two, if you truly say you love your dad, in spite of all of those things, you'll be there for him when he needs you the most, whether he deserves it or not. Now, me, on the other hand, I'm like, man, you know, those are my babies, you know. It's a little hurtful, but to God be the glory, because at the end of the day, you never know how the story would turn. You never know. Someone could come and just speak life into him, because I feel like, you know, if that happened, his whole world will be rocked and his whole mind will change in reference to it. So, yeah.
Wow, that's a lot. And you know, as you're talking, a lot of the time, I think we focus on the son and father dynamic in a single parent household with a single mom led household, and how the son might be losing out on learning how to become a man and how it affects the male, you know, the son when the father's not around. But I don't know if we really have enough conversations about how it affects the daughters.
Greatly.
Right, right. And even for when I look at both of my kids, I mean, I can easily tell Isaiah, you know, he's in a household. It's him and his sister, and it's myself. So two women, well, a young lady and a woman, and he's the only male in the household. So I can't even imagine how he feels. So I tend to focus more on him when it comes to talking about his father and stuff like that. But I never really, and Ayana's never really given me any kind of inclination at this age, preteen age, but where she feels a little disappointed or a little hurt. But Isaiah has. So Isaiah's at the age, Lateria, where he is, you know, having these conversations with me about how slighted he feels when certain circumstances occur. But yeah, you know, that's just, it breaks my heart to even hear what your daughter had to go through. But then it took the maturity, you know, for her to have enough maturity to understand now as she's older, it's not me, it's him. And the one thing that you even said to even challenge her and her sister to pray for their father. And for you as a mom, as a single mom, with everything that you went through, and even probably to this day, some of the challenges you go through without the actual support of the dad, for you to even be big enough to say that.
Yeah.
That comes with a lot of, you know, I think heart healing for ourselves, maturity, growth, and really like being in relationship with God.
It has everything to do with the relationship with God.
Right.
Because I remember before then, and you knew me way back when.
Yes,
got
ma'am.
A lot of stories. And,
well, we ain't going to tell them on this.
No. Yeah, we've been friends since high school. Oh, and we're kind of old now. But and I remember it wasn't that way. It was anger. It was bad words. It was hatred. It was everything. Like, I felt like every time I heard his voice, I just wanted to go and just punch a hole in the wall. It was that bad.
Right.
But God, I could just say that. Like, I guess the point of this is, of what I'm trying to say here is, don't doubt God. God can do anything. Like, a lot of times we feel that it should look like this, right? And God is saying, no, no, it shouldn't look like that. Yes, you had a child, perhaps out of wedlock. Perhaps you had a child straight out of high school. But that child I've called for my purpose. So it's not going to look like the way you think it should look like raising the child. You're going to have to cry, and I've trusted you. You're going to have to cry. You're going to have to fight. You're going to have to pray, because my oldest daughter literally taught me how to pray. Okay. Like, I didn't know how to pray. She taught me how to, like,
right,
because I had to, because it was her soul. And so it's not the way we think it should look, just like Jesus, right? Jesus was born in a manger. And the way I always think of it is, he's born there with a whole bunch of animal stuff. He could have been in the pigs, what is it called, the trough, whatever, where they keep the food.
Right.
How nasty is that, right? But how lowly was that for him? And you wouldn't expect that of a king. You would expect for a king to be born someplace where it's lavished with gold and silver and fine linens and all kinds of incense burning, because it's just, it's supposed to be nice and smelling good. But this was not what was supposed to be for Jesus, the king born in a lowly manger. Okay. How are we to tell God this is how our situation is supposed to look like, when God is saying, this is not how I intended for it to look like, because this child is supposed to go through exactly this to be used for my purpose. And I believe that wholeheartedly. I believe that perhaps if the father, their father, or any father would have been in their life, and I'm not saying that it's not good for fathers to be absent, so I don't want anybody to misconstrue that. But in the case of it happens to be, there is no other way. This is how it is because God intended for it to be that way at that moment, right? And all the trials and all the circumstances and all those things that you don't want to happen, all that sandpaper that is molding that child, that is grafting that child to be exactly who God, you never know. Shaquille O'Neal himself said that he didn't have a relationship with his biological father. And I really admire Shaquille O'Neal, because he does things in the community, and he reaches out to children. Children who probably are a little, they don't have what, you know, most other kids have. And he reaches out and he helps the ones in need. And he tries to do that with a humble heart. You know, had he have grown up with a father and the father would have taught him a different value, he would not have been that person. So had your child would have grown up with a father who still liked to party, he still liked to club and liked to beat on women, or, you know, anything negative, that child would grow up with those same values. But the beauty of it is if there's a negative characteristic and God doesn't want that to contaminate what he's chosen, who he's chosen, or the rough sides where he's like, okay, you're going to see a little bit of struggle because I'm going to need you later on to minister to some children when you're older and say, hey, you know what? My mom was a single parent, but this is how I got through it. You know, perhaps all of those things were because God is going to bring them up to a higher position in him later on. And I love that part, because now I get to see my daughter, 23 years old. I get to see her in church. I get to see her worshiping the Lord. And she has talks of love, being in love, and she wants to marry and things like that. And one of her goals is that she tells the guy that she's actually in love with, she's like, listen, you need to reach out to these young boys that don't have fathers. And I'm like, really, kid? And I'm looking at her and I don't say a word because I don't let her know that that's purpose. But that's her thought. You need to reach out to these young boys that don't have fathers. You need to take them under your wings and you need to start speaking life into them. And I'm just proud. I'm actually proud. But had she had not known how it felt to be without a father, she would not know.
She wouldn't have been able to.
She wouldn't have been able to influence him. You know, he grew up with his dad, and his dad's always been by his side. So he doesn't feel that. But because she does, she's able to say, hey, you know what? They need you. You know how to be a father. They need you. And another beauty of it is, you know, breaking generational cycles and curses. And when you have that opportunity to pour into your children and to change the mindsets and to do away with anything negative, you get to say, hey, let's start a new generation. I want our family to be like this, you know? And I told my daughter, I said, listen, I made mistakes. My mom's made mistakes. You know, my dad's made mistakes. His mother's made mistakes. You know, we could just go down the line and lineage of mistakes being made as far as having premarital sex and having kids out of wedlock. But I said, you can be that chain breaker. You could be the one to say, I'm not having a child until I'm married. You can be the
So
one to
good.
start that. And I praise the Lord. I just thank God because I think it's a beautiful thing. It is a beautiful thing, not a think. I know it's a beautiful thing, and I just can't wait to see what he does in the future.
Well, even when you say that, the fact that your daughter's father was not in her life, and now all of the everything that she went through was necessary to get to where she is today. It's the same for you, Lateria. You know, the reason why that relationship did not work out was to bring you to this place. And when you talk, and when you share, it comes from a deep well of wisdom that you have, where I believe that you impact people's lives, and you probably don't even recognize that. But just the wisdom that you carry, and how to navigate hard moments and times and situations, and to be able to be upfront with people and be a truth teller, but also help them see certain things that they might not be able to see by themselves. You know what I mean? And so if you were in that relationship to this day, you would not have the opportunities. And I know that you serve in your community, you serve in your church. I mean, to even get my friend y'all Lateria scheduled to come on took an act of God. So thank you, God, for that. Because you do a lot of stuff, you do a lot of serving, but would you have done that if you were still in that relationship? So the same goes, you know, for you as a single mom. And I just want to throw that out there for other single moms out there that, you know, you're in this situation, you feel like, oh, this is too much for me. You even might think that you hate your life. You even might think that these children are a burden. And we talked about that earlier. And you mentioned, you know, even though the ideal situation of how they were made to be and birthed into this world was not what we think it is, God still uses it. And so I just want to encourage other single moms out there, and even single fathers, really, that in the midst of this situation, just understand that all of this is necessary in order for God to use you to maybe help another single parent, maybe help children that are in single parent households, whatever it is that God has for you. You just have to understand the things that we experience that are challenges, that are heartbreak, that are issues that, you know, we don't ever think that we're ever going to get over. But, you know, we mature, we grow. It comes back around for us to look at the next generation or the next person that might be in a similar situation. You know, so everything is purpose, right,
Oh, yes,
Lateria?
I believe that
Everything
wholeheartedly.
is purpose. And I don't want to keep you. I know we've talked on here for a while, but I just want to shout you out and say how amazing you are as a friend. Really, like I tend to be a little more in the clouds, I guess you could say, but you're a voice of reason for me, and I can count you on the one hand of friends that I have, and there's two others
Shout
that I
out,
have that, right, we're shouting them
Chelsea and
out. So
Cicely.
our right, our friends from high school that, you know, it's just amazing that we've kept this connection for so long. And I truly call you guys friends. I truly call you a friend, and you know all my business. But yet, we have been able to grow together and to navigate these challenges. And now I feel like we're all in this sweet spot of being able to reflect and see, like, you know, how our children are growing and being, and the impact that we're making on their lives and on others. So you're an amazing person, Lateria. You should have your own podcast, y'all. If you want to send me any type of messages, DM me and just say, hey, Lateria, you need to have your own podcast. I'm going to make sure that she gets these messages because I believe that you should do your own podcast because you have a lot of wisdom to share with the world. So, with that being said, Lateria, before we close, I want to invite you to pray over single moms, over children that might be the same age as your daughter that still haven't resolved the conflict of a parent not being there. So I'm going to give you the floor to pray.
All right. Before I pray, I just want to share with you Ephesians chapter 6. This is verse 13 and a little bit of 14, but it's talking about the whole armor of God, how we have to keep ourselves covered. We got to keep ourselves covered. And if you haven't read it, just read it, Ephesians chapter 6. But one of the things is you have to keep yourself covered in truth. So I'm going to read this and I'll explain that in a second. But wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And verse 14 says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. The truth is the truth of Jesus Christ, the gospel message. Jesus Christ dying, Jesus Christ rose from the dead for your sins. He took on sin. That's the truth, right? But the truth is also believing what God tells you and not what Satan's telling you, because there's two voices talking to you. Being able to discern which voice is the one to listen to, because the voice of Satan will tell you, I can't do this anymore, to give up, throw in the towel, forget about it, just do you. You're not happy. You're single. You need somebody. Just do you. Don't worry about your kids. Your kids will be fine. Drop them off somewhere else. Let somebody else raise them. Let somebody else deal with it. I can't take another phone call from school, or I can't take another illness at the doctor's office. Whatever it may be, those are not the voices of God. Because the things from God are good things. Those things align up with what the scriptures say. The Bible says that he will never leave you nor forsake you. And I believe that because he never left me. And I'll tell you, there were times when I was listening to the voice of the enemy. And those times when the enemy starts whispering in my ear, I feel down. I feel depressed. I feel like I have no hope. I have no resolution. But knowing who Jesus is, I'm like, wait a minute, devil, you're a liar. Because I've never been hungry. My kids have never been without. We have been saved. Mm-hmm. God, you protected us. God, we were able to do, we were able to live better than some people who had a mother and a father in a home. So devil, you're a liar. Mm-hmm. I don't believe anything you're saying. You're spitting out about my kids. And I tell you what, hearing the truth and knowing the truth, it will set you free from all of that depression, all of that, hey, I can't do it, anything. It will set you free. And again, not just the truth of knowing who you are, but the truth of knowing who God is. So I pray that you all stay encouraged. Be encouraged. Listen, it's not the end. The end will come and we won't even know it's come because we won't be able to even tell about it. So as long as you have breath, there is still hope, and it's not the end. I'll say that. And when you think that you can't do anything else, just like the Bible says, to stand and to stand therefore. Okay? And I'm going to pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for every ear that's going to hear this podcast. We thank you for every single mother. Lord, we thank you for every child that is raised in a single parent household. We thank you, Lord, for the married families. We thank you, Lord, for every child raised in the married household. Lord, I ask right now that you bring your peace, that you let your peace rest upon every mother, every father who feels that they have to do this alone. Let them realize and recognize, Lord, that they're not doing it alone, but you are there in the midst, Lord. And that when they feel weak, Lord, that they can lean on you because you are forever strong. You're all powerful. You're all knowing. When they need answers, Lord Jesus, they can turn to you because you'll give them the answers. You'll give them the solution, Lord Jesus, because you love them. Even when they feel unloved, your love surpasses all understanding. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask that you just dwell in each and every household, Lord. Bless them abundantly, not monetarily, Lord Jesus, but bless them even the more in love, because love surpasses all. Once you have love, Lord, you have everything. Lord, I thank you and I praise you right now for your words, for your knowledge, Lord Jesus, and wisdom that you have imparted to us, Lord. Lord, and I just pray, Lord, that each and every person here, if they do not know you, that they will get to know you, Lord, that they will set their hearts and their minds to know more about you, because you are Alpha and the Omega. You know our beginning from our end. You know even every hair that is on our heads. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Wow. So amazing. I'm clapping if you guys can't hear it or see it. Thank you so much, Leteria. This was a necessary conversation that we needed to have. So I'm so glad that you said yes to come on. And you know, I'm going to invite you back anytime you want to get back on before you actually launch your podcast. I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm going to make sure my friend launches a podcast, y'all. But in the meantime, I'm going to invite Leteria to come back and talk because you've got a lot of wisdom to give this demographic especially. So I want to say thank you to everyone that was listening. Wherever you are in the world, whatever time it is, where you are in the world, thank you so much for listening to Candidly Single Mom. Again, I want you to make sure that you like, follow, and share this podcast, and also make sure that you share this with another single mom, another single father, listen to it with your children. If you have any children and this is a struggle that you're having with them, not reconciling the fact that the other parent's not in their life, let them listen to this podcast. It's going to bless them, as Leteria has blessed me today. And of course, you can follow me on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, at Janine Elizabeth. I want to hear your thoughts. Please share your feedback. Please give Leteria kudos and encourage her to start her podcast if you want to share any feedback as well. Again, Leteria, thank you so much for coming on. And look, me and my friend, we're going to be talking tomorrow. Yay. We've got something exciting that we're doing with Galentine's a group of our friends. Right. So we're going to be doing some fun stuff. And I'm so happy that I have y'all as friends. So anyway, that's a sidebar. Nothing to do with Candidly Single Mom.
I'm blessed to have y'all as friends. It's a blessing.
Yes.
It's a blessing.
It is. It is. So with that being said, single moms, make sure that you have a community, a village, a group of friends that love you enough to tell you the truth. And love you enough to be there to pick you up when you feel like you can't do more or enough or you can't move on. So make sure you have good core friends that are in your corner. And with that being said, you all have a good night. So we're getting off and take care. Bye-bye.